Blog Talk Radio.
It was the Anglo-American Alliance that stood up and fought the tyranny which you hate. So did Norway. So did Denmark. So did the Scandinavians as well, who stood up and fought.
What do you think of Sweden?
Sweden was neutral.
What do you think of Sweden?
I think if people had been neutral against Hitler, Hitler would have won.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com, the English Defence League radio show, The Truth and the Voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the banner of the show is English Defence League radio show narratives. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing narratives, the true facts shared by the people, and the false claims of the Islamic death cult and its henchmen in government and the fake stream media. You will hear current news items, and we will show you how the brightest rat woke culture packages hide the dark agenda. Those narratives had destroyed lives. The truth is here. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And that was by the late great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, let me bring on, as he's doing a quick, smooth run around the biscuit barrel as he's come through the door, is my wingman and my dear friend and colleague, Dave Agador Milner. Good evening, good afternoon, Dave, and welcome.
Good evening to you, Jeff. Good evening to everybody in the UK. Good afternoon to everybody in the States. Hello to everybody around the world. And, of course, off Earth, yes, we have got quite the show. Did you ever feel like, and this is for the listeners, did you ever feel like a refugee in your own country? Well, we're going to demonstrate a little for you tonight and today how that can be, a thing. And we're going to do it with a little bit of help from some news items that we found.
We're going to do a little bit of help from our friends. Sorry.
That's right, Jeff. Well, certainly from one of our very good friends right at the start, Jeff. Yeah. The first two items, actually the first three items we're going to have, are going to be from Tommy Robinson, who, among other accomplishments, founded the English Defense League. And these items have to do, well, the first one has to do with a lawsuit that was against him now, or is against him now. If you want to go looking for this, guys, what you're going to want to go do is go to tr.news and look for Supporting the Truth, okay? And there's also a link to Supporting the Truth on our show page, so you can definitely check that out. If you go to blogtalkradio.com, it's a direct link, or as I said, you can just go to tr.news, and you will see quite a few items there, okay? That would be the thing to do. Now, we're going to run these items
and
here,
also,
guys.
He's an author. Please look for his book, Enemy of the State. He's got a couple of books, so please check it out, because any money he raises will go towards what Dave is discussing now. So I just want to put that, Dave, out there to the great listeners out there, that it's a good book, it's a good read, and it tells you about the persecution of a man who loves his country. Go on, Dave. Sorry, mate. I just had to say that, mate. I had to say it.
Well, yes, that's among them, and also a book of his that's been banned, but you still can find it, is Muhammad's Quran. Now, we're going to run this first one, Jeff. When you're ready, it's 4 minutes and 16 seconds long, so when you're ready, we're going to run this first one, and it has to do with the lawsuit that is currently pending against Mr. Robinson. It's a civil suit, and I think you'll find this very interesting, particularly when we get to the other two segments. So you ready for this first one, brother?
Yes, go ahead, Dave.
All right, here we go. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here we go.
So, as you may be aware, I've been in court today. I'm facing a libel case. The judge has agreed fees. She's knocked them down £100,000. So currently, their legal fees will add up to £346,000. My legal fees will be £200,000, and then the libel case is over £100,000. £650,000. So if I lose this case, I'll be charged £650,000, which will give them the ability to seize my home, which shows exactly what this is about. So there's more than one way to skin a cat, and they've found the next way. And the next way now is going to be throwing me through the legal system, charging me hundreds of thousands of pounds. People have supported me throughout. I was told and advised to offer £50,000 to Jamal and to make an apology, to apologise for telling the truth. Well, so I refused to do that based on principle. What I said was the truth. Why should we hide the truth? If you want to support my battle, the reason why it's going to become a battle is there are vulnerable children involved in this case. My witnesses, who are willing to come to court, are vulnerable children. They're willing to tell the truth. A young girl who was assaulted by Jamal is willing to come to court and explain that she was assaulted by Jamal. The problem we have, if you remember when Jamal's lawyer, Mohammed Akanji is the lawyer who's been trying to get Shamina Begum and representing ISIS terrorists and bring them back into our country. Shamina Begum's lawyer sent an extremist to my children's home. He live streamed it. So watch this part of the video where you will see him handing over my children's address to an extremist who then went to my children's home and let everyone know where they live, put their lives in danger. Watch this video.
I was then contacted and asked if I would be interested in doing this. I'm still not 100% sure why. I don't really fully believe this is happening. But I'm a person about that. That's basic. I've never done anything like this before. This is not, you know, it's a career I can suddenly get into.
just clarity on what you're doing. So you're going to be live streaming.
It will be live streamed. I'm not in charge of the filming or anything like that. That's down to the guys over here. I'm literally just here to go up to Tommy's address to ring on the bell if anyone answers or replies. You know, inform them of this. And if they come and get it, they get it. If they don't, I leave it there for them. And then we walk away, and this is sitting for him when he gets back from wherever he is at the moment.
Now here you can see that man threatening to murder my children.
He loves it, didn't he? He loves it. And on that note, see, on that happy note, oh, by the way, Tommy, I am going to mince your kids, mate.
Now, I have a situation here where I have young children, vulnerable children, who are willing to give evidence in a court case. I need to protect them, so I need to make sure the court makes sure their addresses and their names are kept secret. Because I've seen the consequence that happens when people turn up at your house. Bailey, the child in this case, had to leave his hometown. His young 11-year-old sisters began self-harming. Bailey tried to kill himself. I've seen the consequences. I'm not going to put these children in danger. I will refuse to give the addresses of those children to the same lawyer, because he's proved he is incapable of holding data. He's proved he will put children and families at risk. If you want to support this fight, because it's going to become a fight, I'm not going to give in on it. I'm not going to roll over on it. Not when it's the truth, and I know I can prove in court it's the truth, but then I still lay myself at the hands of a judge. To get to that position is going to cost £200,000. If you want to support me, please go to www.supportingthetruth.com. I appreciate every second of it. I don't want to roll over. I don't want to apologise for telling the truth. I principle myself on telling the truth, on being the other side of the story. So please support me if you can. This is how they're. This is their next way of trying to just smash the legs off me. So please fight it.
And there you go. Jeff, your comments, sir.
Well, it is, as I say, because Tommy is Tommy, and they're doing everything they possibly can to crush Tommy's thoughts about things, discussing the evilness that's going on across this country where children's concerned. And when he speaks out, he does what he does because he's such a big figure. People around the world know Tommy, and they're doing anything to try to crush the man. They've done it from day one, basically. As soon as Tommy removed his face covering that time, I think he knew what he was going to let himself in for. I don't think he realised that the extent of the problems that would happen after that, he did that. He would probably thought twice about removing that mask at that time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all of a sudden, you put your toe in the water, you wiggle it about. Oh, it's a bit cold, but I'm going in. And unfortunately, if only Tommy would have kept wiggling his toe about a little bit, because it's left his family, it's left him open to the state to attack him. Not only the state, but the evilness that lives within. We got a power structure within a state, and that goes hand in hand with the establishment and the elitists out there to bring down anybody that speaks out against their terrible, terrible narrative of the way that people are treated in this country. And that's what we see. I mean, am I surprised about this this court case and the money that's involved? I'm not shocked one iota. I mean, I knew it was coming. I think most of us did, because this is it. If they can't shut you up day hits you in your pocket financially. This is what the evil ones do. That's why they have the power to do it, and the power structure and the evilness within. They have got that ability. Tommy, it's like many of us, we fight our own battles. No one stands in the fights our battles. Tommy's one of those who puts his feet forward and he goes forth and he does fights the good fight. And it will be recognised in a day, a while away, there will be talk of the time what Tommy had to endure. Stories will be written of this time and the persecution, just not of Tommy, but many others, you know, many others out there. We got a lady languishing in prison this moment in time. It's basically the key's been thrown away, Melanie Shaw, because she speaks out. She tells the truth. She's a whistleblower. And they banged her away because she would have exposed the dark ones, them ones out there who do the most disgusting acts against children and think that they're above any law. And a lot of the time they are. The reason being, ladies and gentlemen, is that those in power and those in judgment are involved in these evil crimes themselves. Can you see how dark what people like Tommy, people like ourselves, the EDL, we're up against? This is it. It's an upward fight, and it's a fight that we cannot afford to give in, give up. Never. We must never surrender. And Tommy, he can't. He can't back up. He can't say, you know, once he has said, no, he made an apology about it. But what he said was the truth. How can you lie against yourself? That's unacceptable. He can't do that. He just can't do that. But that's my thoughts of things. I do feel for Tommy and his family. He's got a lovely family, and trying to do what's right for your kids, trying to do what's right for other children across the country. In the eyes of the dark ones, Tommy goes against their narrative, because he should be like a lot of others who don't turn away and pretend it's not happening. But Mr. Tommy Robinson is not one of those. Tommy will go, he will find what's going on, and he will expose how evil and dark it is. So, of course, we must all support Mr. Robinson and his crusade of what he's doing. He's an honourable man. He's an honourable man, and that is what, you know, when he formed the EDL, you know, just look at our mission statement. We're honourable people. My people, oh, they're thugs from this, that. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody knows me, listen to me on a radio show, I'm not a thug. Far from it. I'm a loving, caring man. And I do love and care for my country. But because I do, I've become an outsider. What's the word? I can't remember the word that they call us, you know, that we go against their narrative, you know, but I can't be any. I'm a rebel with a cause, and they can stop themselves, because all the time I'm on this earth, I will speak out against the injustice that's going on across my country. I love my country, born and bred my country, go back generations, of course I love them. Will do anything for my country. But it's an absolutely travesty of justice what they're trying to do to Mr. Robinson. And people like Tommy Robinson, we know many, there's many patriots that's in prison, not just like Tommy was, but there's many others out there, people you don't really hear about simply because they're not, you know, highlighted as much as what we see with Tommy. But anyway, Dave, that's my thoughts. As I say, once again, another thing trying to bring Mr. Robinson down. You know, trying to take his home away from him.
All right. Well, Jeff, obviously, there's nothing there I can disagree with. And it's typical. Any move he makes, they'll either try and imprison him or they'll try and make him go broke, him and his supporters, by just hitting him with frivolous lawsuits and things like that. And, of course, the same lawyer that is representing the people suing him is the same lawyer that represents Mohammed and the scumbags that have infested the UK as well. So, and we know that this is an individual, I'll just repeat it, who has no problem with handing over sensitive data to thugs, all right, so that they can go and harass children. But then again, this is what Mohammedans do. Now, I'm going to go ahead, Jeff. If you guys want a little bit more background, do go to tr.news and read the article, but also listen to the following. All right, the one you just heard was from the 18th. All right, this one and the one following it are from yesterday. Tommy put some stuff up yesterday, and I split this up into two parts because of BTR's way of handling long files, which it can't do that very well. So, Jeff, if you're ready, we will start this one. This one here is going to be 8 minutes and 38 seconds long. But, guys, this is definitely worth listening to because it'll set things up for you. You ready for it, Jeff?
Yeah, go for it, Dave.
All right. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here we go.
Everyone saw this week the story of the Syrian refugee and the young boy called Bailey McLaren in Huddersfield. I remember watching as this story broke. And as soon as it broke, the newspapers tried to involve me in it. And I was sent messages after messages from other parents whose children go to that school. And the narrative that was being spun, that was being spread across the world, was of the poor Syrian refugee being bullied and violently attacked and driven out of his school. But that's not a message I was getting from other parents at the school. And very quickly, I received messages from a mother there about her daughter, who was gang attacked by a group, including Jamal. According to the mother, I've got all the copy of all of the evidence of all the messages after I spoke on the phone with this mother. And then very quickly, that mother was forced to retract her story as threats to rape and murder her family were coming in online. So I wanted to go up to Huddersfield this week and speak to the mother of another child who was involved in an altercation with Jamal, the Syrian refugee.
Your son goes to Almondbury High. What did you think when you first watched the video of the Syrian child, Jamal and Bailey?
First thing I thought is just two boys. That one lad said something to the other lad and he's gripped him, threw him to the floor and squirted him in the face. Bit of water, nothing to it.
I understand. I looked at his broken arm and I thought, why is no one talking about his broken arm? I believe your son, there was an involvement.
There was an involvement. He was saying stuff to me, saying stuff to him all day and calling me a white fat bitch.
Jamal was saying stuff to your son. How old was your son?
He's 12. He was 12 at the time. Then he got him in headlock. Then another year 11 people saw it and pushed him off him. And that's how he broke his arm, because he had messed him in the headlock. So another child was protecting my child because he was getting bullied.
So the start of this was Jamal was picking on your son.
Calling me a white fat bitch.
Calling you
a white fat bitch.
Making racial slurs.
Racial words to me, yeah.
About you, to your son.
Yeah.
And then he gripped your son in the headlock.
Yeah.
The age difference there, 15 to a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And then another boy in the school has pushed him out.
Pushed him off, and that's how he broke his arm.
And that's how he broke his arm. So, because I thought it amazing that none of the media...
It was how he broke his arm.
That's how he broke his arm.
And I had to go to the police station for an interview, and it got squashed because it got classed as an accident.
Because the other boy pushed him.
Yeah.
But that's, so why have none of the media spoke about how he broke his arm?
Because
he broke his arm, so essentially he broke his arm, During the bullying of a young child.
Yeah.
And none of the media have spoke about.
No.
What's your view on how the media have portrayed what's happened? As a parent in school.
Portrayed it. I think they've blown it way, way out of proportion. I think suing refugee, waterboarding, it's not. The waterboarding thing's really wound me up because it's not waterboarding.
Other children, other parents who you speak to around the estate, how do they feel? Can I tell you why?
A lot of people, what I've got back and said, Jamel is a little shit. He's not an innocent little boy like they're all. He's not an innocent little boy, no.
Well, because you say that sitting here in front of me, another mother contacted me, sent me images of her daughter who was violently beaten up, and she told me specifically, and I'm being threatened to be sued by lawyers, she told me specifically, I have all the evidence, that Jamal was involved in the beating up of her daughter.
I've seen that, yeah.
At that school.
Yeah.
But she's too scared.
There's a fair few other people that he's bullied.
That Jamal has.
Yeah, but nobody will speak up. People need to speak up because what's happening at Baylor, he's getting made out to be the really bad bully, and Jamal is actually a bully.
For everyone who judges this 1 minute clip, the first thing you hear Bailey McLaren say is, what are you saying now? What are you saying now? So something's clearly been said before. It was time to sit down and speak to Bailey McLaren, who's currently living in hiding with his family, to find out just what happened before and after this incident unfolded.
Obviously, the clip that everyone's been shown that went viral. What's the backstory to that? I watched, and the first thing I saw you say is, what are you saying now?
Yeah. When it all started was when he actually, in the lesson before, he was gobbing it off to me, saying stuff, laughed it all off kind of thing. And then I was sat in the dinner hall, and then one of his mates come up to me saying, oh, watch out, Bailey, he's going to stab you. So me being me kind of thing, I said, right, let me go confront him. Went up and was saying, oh, what are you saying now, da, da, da. And then that's what the video shows. But the threats of getting stabbed, and I'm not going to take it kind of thing. I'm not going to be scared or intimidated kind of thing. But.
And you'd had an argument. So you'd been arguing in the classroom before this?
Mm-hmm, yeah, we're gobbing it off behind the teacher kind of thing. I just laughed it off, kind of, just left it.
So, because the way this has played out, Syrian refugee. What effect did the fact he was Syrian have on the situation? If
there were no race or anything like the media tried to put it out, it was just an issue between me and Jamal. So there was no race, because of his religion.
Just another kid, yeah, mouthing off two young children.
If it was anyone else, I'd have done the same.
Yeah. In the first couple of days of this incident, I was contacted by parent after parent in the school. I met a parent this morning from your school, whose 12-year-old son goes to your school.
Mm-hmm.
The hockey stick incident.
Yeah, he attacked a girl with a hockey stick.
And that was reported to the school.
Yeah, which the girl has had to be brought out of the school by her mum and homeschooled because of it.
So a young girl being homeschooled because of what Jamal had done.
Jamal has done, yeah.
And then there's another girl that was jumped by a few young Muslim girls. And I spoke with her mum.
Yep.
And I had all the screenshots and all the photos, and Jamal apparently was involved in this attack against their daughter. But so at school, because the other mother I spoke to this morning said at school, he's not innocent.
Not innocent at all. I think like the mother with which said her daughter got bit on the head by Jamal.
Yeah.
She's had then to say, well, kind of thing, because of the death threats and the rape threats.
Had to retract it because of death threats.
And the rape threats that she were getting.
You're all 16.
Yeah, 16, yeah.
You should be taking your GCSEs.
Most crucial, yeah, what I've actually been building up for my GCSEs, to take my GCSEs for all my school life kind of thing. This is the main year which I should be getting my head down in school, but now I'm suffering from that.
When was this incident with Jamal?
6 weeks ago, around 6 weeks ago, yeah.
So there was you had this altercation 6 weeks ago. What happened at school about it?
The school said, they left it kind of thing, and then I got brought in by the head teacher. He said, the thing you'll be getting is an hour detention. Left school that next day, well, at school that night there, and he phoned up my grandma and said, he's been excluded for 2 days. So then okay. thinking, all right, I'll be going back in school on the Monday. Then got a phone call and said, well, he's permanently excluded. He won't be allowed back into the school.
What did the teacher say, the head teacher? When you had a conversation with him about this incident, what's...
And said, if this headline gets out, all messed up.
If the headline gets
yeah.
out? So not to do with the incident, but if the headline gets out.
Mm-hmm.
As in?
Syrian refugee. I said, it's got nothing to do with that. He said, is it because of religion? I said, it's got nothing to do with that. I don't understand why this has been brought into the occasion.
And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show. Host Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, you grew up, as we all did as a kid. You're a father, you're a grandfather, you're a great-grandfather. You understand the politics of the schoolyard. What are your impressions of what this young man was talking about and the rest of it?
Well, it's the politics of the schoolyard, and that sums it up, really. It's not just some kid bullying and doing something to a young girl or a young boy and someone standing in. It's the politics of the day that we live now. That's the trouble. Politics has been brought in to the schoolyard. And the narrative, you know, the headline, Syrian refugee, was attacked by racists. Because I think that's how it panned out at the time. It had nothing to do with that. It's just the way that the fake stream media reports on these things, because they're guided by their masters from Saudi and places like that, to write this garbage, to put up this narrative. So, of course, the politics now is two kids kicking off and one of them gets thrown out of school and has death threats. His family's had death threats and rape threats. It's typical of where we are now. The people in this country now, if you are an indigenous person who's born and bred in this country, you really are the refugee. Those that come over here and everything's put on a plate for them, they're the first class citizens. You now are refugees, because that family had to move. They've had to move around and change locations simply because of how bad the situation is. And that is what Tommy has been talking about. But then Tommy comes under attack because he could see the wrongdoing of the way that the establishment, the way that the mainstream media and the wrong ones are doing things. And unfortunately, Tommy's the brunt of this whole issue now. He's, it's unfortunate. It is what it is, Dave. You know, it's you stand up for what's right and you stand up for what's wrong in this country. And basically, you're doing, that's not the way to do it. In their eyes, it's not the way. Things should just go on. And you should not say nothing. You should stay quiet and let these things pan out. Well, I'm sorry, that's just not the way it is with people like myself. I'm not bowing down to anybody. I'm not, no one's going to stop me. If I see injustice being performed, I'm not going to stand aside and say, oh, this is not my problem. If I know that I can deal with the situation, I'm there to deal with it. But that's just me, Dave. That's just about the way that I am. But, I mean, this is a horrible situation for that young lad and his family, and a horrible situation for Tommy and his family for speaking up on behalf of the family. Unbelievable times we lived, Dave. Horrific.
Yeah,
thank you, brother.
It is, yeah. All right. Thanks, man. And yeah, it is. I mean, Americans that are listening to this, how many times have you seen this in regard to police shootings and other things? They take a video and they completely misinterpret it. They go just based on the little slice of video that you get to see. They don't tell you about any background. It's a poor Syrian refugee. Yeah, it's a poor Syrian refugee who gets away with almost anything because he's a Syrian refugee. I mean, let's just face it. Now, the kid didn't say this. The EDL isn't saying this, but I'm saying this. The unpleasant blind guy, Dave Milner, he's getting away with these things because he's a Mohammedan. And because Mohammedans, being a Mohammedan in the United Kingdom now is a mitigating circumstance. It means, as Tim Burton used to say, you can get away with more than you can if you're not a Mohammedan. Okay, so this guy's been able to get away with attacking a girl with a hockey stick. He's been able to get away with biting another girl on the head. I don't know what that was about, but then again, the way these Mohammedans are raised,
it's a Quran,
violence.
Quranimal, does that? Quranimal, that's where it is.
Well,
Quranimal.
Violence is just a part of what they're raised with, and they're raised to intimidate. And this young man that Tommy interviewed, was practicing the actual politics of the schoolyard as it should be practiced. Okay, you're going to roll up on me and tell me you're going to stab me. I'm not going to be intimidated, and I'm going to show you I'm not going to be intimidated. We all grew up in those situations, okay, and it should have been left there. It's like, okay, if they wanted to give the kid detention for an hour or, you know, give him 2 days off school or whatever, okay, that's a reasonable punishment, I think. But instead, this has been blown way out of proportion because the kid is a Mohammedan. And, Jeff, it gets worse, man. This gets worse from here. You guys have already heard, listeners, of the intimidation that has gone on with one witness that was prepared to step forward, and now she has to remain silent in order to protect her family from these Mohammedans. And it gets even worse than this, Jeff. Are you ready for the second part of this one, man?
Yeah, go for it, Dave.
All right, guys, now this one's a little bit longer, but again, this is worth listening to, especially listen to Tommy Robinson's words as he concludes all of this, because this was what really grabbed me. And actually, we were going to, I was thinking about calling this show Refugees, because that now is what indigenous people, conservatives and people like that are. We'll get into more of that later, but for now, check this out. This is 9 minutes and 46 seconds long. So be sure and check this out, guys, and share it too, okay? Go to tr.news, okay, and you can share this out. The headline on it is Waging Financial Jihad and Destroying the Truth, all right? So I'm going to go ahead and play this, guys, and you can listen and share this stuff out. This is the English Defense League radio show. Here we go.
A solicitor got involved. Yeah, he then posted, I believe, he's posted the video after I've had a meeting with the governors and the head teacher.
So you've had a meeting with the governors and the head teacher?
Yep.
And then the next day,
the video.
Muslim lawyer, 6 weeks after the incident has happened,
yep.
6 weeks later.
Yeah.
So the school have dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks later, the video is put online viral, and there's a big statement with the video, a big story about how Jamal has been bullied for years, 2 years in the school, and how when you read that statement, it reads as though you broke his arm.
Right, it's not true. It wasn't me that broke his arm at all.
Was you involved?
Wasn't involved in
nothing
it at all.
Nothing
at all. I wasn't even there.
He wasn't even there. So this is your first altercation with him. He's mouthing off at you in class. Then you hear he's going to saying he's going to stab you. So when that then comes out and you see it going viral, the way it went viral,
I didn't know what to do with myself, kind of thing. Get all the comments that I would read and all this type of stuff. And then hours later, my address got put out, and then there were people turning up at my house in cars, all this type of stuff.
I've seen comments on here saying your sister should be ashamed of herself. Your sister's a mixed race, is that right?
Yeah.
Say if I just pick some of these. I'll find you on my way. I'll rape you. It's a picture of you. Who is Alfie? Who the fuck is Alfie and Bailey McLaren, the dirty racist bastards? You better make sure that kid isn't at Almondbury School, because we're going to do exactly what he's been doing to other kids. And the older one is getting his head caved in. The older one must mean your brother. People like you shouldn't have right to give birth. These are aimed at your mum. Kill yourself and kill your whole family. In the sense of, if we talk about bullying. You're what, 16?
16, yeah.
I hope your son gets raped. There's a lot of instances of rape here.
Yep.
Again, look. Do you know what? I get lots of this, yeah? And it worries me. I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
You're a 16-year-old kid.
Like, aiming at my mum and my sisters, saying they're going to rape my mum, so rape my sister and stuff like this. It's just appalling.
You know the rape threats? We're in Huddersfield, yeah?
Mm-hmm, yep.
A lot of these that I'm reading here are young Muslim men. One of them actually says, you know what we do in this area. One of them actually says, specifically, you know exactly what we do. I think he's referring to, because in Huddersfield, the town we're in, 61 men in the last 12 months have faced charges for the gang rape and prostitution of young English girls. 61 Muslim men. So how real do you take those threats?
Serious, very serious. Because in my hometown, there's that, like you said, there's 61 people that have been...
And that's why you've left.
Yeah.
That's why you're in hiding.
Yeah.
Have you seen the media report anything about the threats you're facing?
And all they've reported on about is the Syrian refugee as they put it across.
Yeah.
No, there's been nothing on thing about saying, well, look what his family's had to face, look what he's had to face. Nothing.
Just a kid having a altercation at school.
Which happens all across the country.
So from the minute this happened, your house is coming under attack, your family's coming under attack, you're receiving all of these, and I read a newspaper article saying you've gone into hiding. I read that you left the country with your mum. That's what I read.
We went into hiding kind of thing because we had all these threats.
Yeah.
Rape threats, death threats.
Bearing in mind, basically, all of these, there's thousands. Mm-hmm. There's thousands of these threats. Bearing in mind there's thousands of threats. And they're all from Muslims who are looking for you. Where did the police relocate you?
Beeston. In a bed and breakfast next to Winston's.
The bed and breakfast next to Winston. Winston's is a
prostitute
haven in Leeds. Beeston is a Muslim community.
Yep.
The bed and breakfast was owned by a Muslim.
Yep.
And that's where they were driving to take you in a riot van.
Yep.
From Huddersfield.
We've looked at the reviews on it and
I've read the reviews. It's crime, full of prostitutes, full of drug dealing. This is the B&B that the police were taking you to as a safe.
And the mayor as well just put an arrow on top of his head saying, look, he's here.
He's here.
Yeah.
Should be taking your GCSEs.
Most crucial, what I've actually been building up for my GCSEs, to take my GCSEs for all my school life kind of thing. This is the main year which I should be getting my head down in school, but now I'm suffering from that.
How would you do in your GCSEs? What's your predicted grade?
Good. Intelligent, I'd be getting high grades.
If you could say something to those people who are judging you, the people who think that you're a bully, that you're a racist, that you're a horrible individual, what would you say to them?
Try and get the other side of the story first. Before you actually start making the threats and these threats that have come across, just get two sides of the story, because then you might not, your opinion will change. Maybe so.
Yeah. Are you scared now?
Yeah. Scared for my life, scared for my family's life.
Over the last 2 years, a young girl has been bullied at a school in the south of England. Here's two videos of the Muslim girl who's been bullying her.
You just said that you didn't see.
Oh my God. I'll turn her face.
Whoa! Shit!
Whoa!
Oh,
whoa!
Fuck!
Whoa!
Fuck!
Whoa! Fuck!
Whoa!
Fuck!
Whoa!
Fuck!
Oh!
Fuck!
Both these incidents happened in the same period of time. Both have been shared online and both have been made public. Will the media report that the English girl was waterboarded? Will that be in the headline as she threw water upon her? This is worse than Bailey's.
far worse than Bailey's. This is two separate incidents on camera. The girl had to leave the school after 2 years of bullying. Will she face court proceedings? Will she be prosecuted in the same way Bailey has? The media, the politicians, the far left, none of them care about the young English girl getting bullied. None of them. They only seem to care about the Syrian.
All the people who said they cared about bullying, the whole media and this whole campaign resulted in the complete bullying and targeting of an entire family over a school playground altercation. That's what that was. And now you have a 16-year-old child, because that's what Bailey McLaren is, a child. And if you look at the word refugee, a family driven from their home through persecution. Well, I've just left a family of refugees, but they're not in Syria. They're from Huddersfield in England. And right now they have nowhere to live and nowhere to go. And they're scared. She's got two mixed race 11-year-old daughters. Looking at their faces and how miserable and upset they were, one of those girls has been driven to self-harm in the last week. 11 years old. To all the celebrities that made this their business to highlight this and push this agenda, Duncan Bannatyne, all of you celebrities, Piers Morgan, all of you who told the story without even knowing the entire facts of the story, without even knowing there's or looking or hearing the other side of the story. Your campaign has resulted in the persecution of a family. Your campaign of children. I've just left a family with young children 3 weeks before Christmas. We look at the campaign that was driven for Jamal. And that's what it was. It was an organised, orchestrated and timed campaign by a lawyer. And the lawyer who's headed this is a lawyer that's been used before by Islamist organisations, by terrorists, okay? By terrorists. He issued me a threat to take me to court. Take me to court. Well, there is a family right now in need. And I've left them. And in fact, I've just extended their stay. They have no money. They have nowhere to live. They have no one to turn to. The council, the government, no one. They've tried to relocate them, no one. Now, I'm not going to, three weeks before Christmas, what's the time now? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're on our way back up. Kev and Nat are driving straight back up tomorrow to relocate this family. They need relocating. Now, if you want to support them, a GoFundMe page was set up 3 times for Bailey McLaren's family because they genuinely need support. They genuinely need help. They've got nowhere to live. You know the mother? They haven't been back to the house. They've got no clothes. They're too scared to go back to the house. They've got no clothes. The children, the little children are asking, what about our Christmas presents that were already under the tree? I'm sat there as the mother's telling them, we can't go back there. We cannot go back near there. They're terrified. They're terrified. It's disgusting what's happened here. The way this has been turned, the way this has been blown up. But I don't want to see that family like that. And that family genuinely need help. And unfortunately, at the minute, they haven't been able to turn to the council or the government or social services and the people that should be helping them. So if you want to support them, I'm going to support them. If you want to support them, you can do so at supportbailey.com.
And welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, man,
well,
what do you think?
This, as I say, the thing that you take away from it, it's heartbreaking to know that a family is being persecuted and are absolutely terrified, especially the young girls in the family, and all the threats that's been made against them and the mum and the dad and that. And you know, Dave, sometimes this story's so familiar, isn't it? It's so familiar with where we are today, of what we had to put up with, what that poor family have got to put up with. Not getting no support, no one cares. The only people that care is Tommy and the team. And that is tragic. That is tragic that we live in a country now that, as they are refugees. That's it, Dave, what you said, you summed it up. They turned their own citizens in this country into refugees. Is this what they call population replacement, to a RAF, to cause stress and harm to the indigenous people. So they have they're chased out of their home. So then those people that are here now they'll probably be living in their home soon. The people from foreign lands be living in their home, and this poor family has got nowhere to live at this moment. I'm sure Tommy will relocate this family. But that's where we are, guys. That's where we are. It's time to fight. It's time to stand up against all this. This has been going on for far too long. The story is so... We hear these stories every day. Not quite as extreme as that, but sadly, this is about occupation and replacement of the indigenous people, and to make it really hard. And the young kid of 11 years old, self-harming himself. You know, this is a cry for help. It always is. When you hear kids that do that, this is a cry for help. What help is coming that kid's way? What insurance have they got for their own, for their safety? All you got to do at this moment in time is... there is a website, and Tommy has spoke about it. Please go there, donate, do whatever you can. There's a family out there who desperately needs your help. And I know there's a lot of good people out there. You are good people. Please donate and help a family who's been persecuted by the system, by the total corrupt, evil ones out there. Not a lot I can say. I feel very despondent when I read, when I hear, not read, when I hear what's been going on and the plight of family. And, you know, that's what we're sharing with you, the listeners. I'm sorry if I'm saying so despondent, but that's how it makes you. It makes me angry. It makes me so angry that we have... We live in a country that we used to be so proud to be part of. Now it's becoming a bit of a nightmare to live in this country now under the system that we live. That's all I really want to say, Dave. I'm a bit down about it all, mate, really, honest with you.
Well, of course you are, Jeff. And there was so much to unpack in this one. I mean, you take a look at the government response, and their response was, well, we'll move you to a safe house. And yeah, it's basically what we would call over here in the States a flea bag hotel, you know, populated with hookers and dope dealers and all this kind of thing in a predominantly Mohammedan area owned by a Mohammedan. Well, that's a real safe house, man. Yeah. I mean, why don't they just, ship the kid off to Syria? You know, he would be about as safe. It's absolutely ridiculous what these people are doing. And, of course, the celebrities that can't keep their mouths shut about these sorts of things. Now, I'm going to say this, man, as you might want to call back in, because it's about that time.
Yeah,
I want to say this about...
Right now, mate.
The celebrities, yeah. I'm going to say this about the celebrities, guys. Look, they have as much of a right to speak about the issues as anybody else. But to them, I would say, learn all the facts before you open up your noise hole, okay? Because you've got a bigger megaphone, fair or unfair, than the rest of us do because you're a celebrity. Because, you know, you can sing a song or you can act in a movie or on a TV show, or you happen to have a news program, quote-unquote news program, right? Or something of that nature, okay? I'm not going to tell anybody that they have to shut up. In fact, I hate being told to shut up myself. I believe in unfettered free speech, but learn all of the facts before you go out there and run your face. Okay, that's all I'm saying when it comes to this sort of thing, because that it is just attitudes like that. And the adherence to political correctness, the consequences of which you celebrities and you media people, and I know some of you listen to this show, don't have to deal with, that have caused this situation. If you are a non-Mohammedan in the UK, or if you're a conservative there, or in the United States, yeah, you're a refugee. But, Jeff, let's move this over to another area, because how are other refugees being treated, or rather, how are they paying their host countries back? I've got one here from Breitbart. These next three are from Breitbart, and this one is from the 20th, and it's 2 minutes and 23 seconds long. If people want to go and look for this, all right, it's got, well, you'll be able to hear the headline in a minute. Are you prepared to hear this one, man? This is how we get paid back for our kindness.
Yeah, go for it, Doug.
All right, guys. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. This one's from Breitbart.
Afghan, Iraqi, and Iranian asylum seekers arrested for gang rape of 14-year-old German girl. By Chris Tomlinson on November 20, 2019. Police have arrested three asylum seekers for the gang rape of a 14-year-old girl on Halloween night in the German city of Ulm. The three asylum seekers, from Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran, in custody are age 15, 16, and 26 and are three of five suspects in the case. Investigators say there could have been even more people involved in the suspected gang rape, newspaper Münchner Merker reports. Investigators say the German teen had met one of the suspects on Halloween night and agreed to join him and his group. Once they arrived at the home of one of the asylum seekers, the men raped the girl. Toxicology examinations later found drugs in the girl's blood, with investigators suggesting the suspects may have drugged her before the assault. Initially, police arrested all five asylum seekers aged 14 to 26 but released two of the suspects, aged 14 and 24, who remain at large. Lord Mayor Gunter Zisch reacted to the case on Twitter and garnered criticism for stating, "I wonder what a 14-year-old girl wants in Ulm at night? Parents have a duty to ensure that a minor girl does not walk around town alone. I say this so clearly because we all have to take responsibility if we want to prevent such cases." The mayor later walked back his statements after being accused of victim blaming, saying, "I am very sorry that my original statement was misleading. Of course, the girl carries no fault. The blame for this act lies exclusively and clearly with the alleged perpetrators." The case comes just over a year after seven Syrian asylum seekers were arrested in the city of Freiburg, accused of gang raping an 18-year-old young woman after spiking her drink at a nightclub. Initial reports claim she had been raped by as many as 15 men for up to 4 hours. Italy has also seen similar cases, including one in which the drugging of a 16-year-old, who was then gang raped, led to her death by overdose. The suspects in the case were described as being African and Arab immigrants. Follow Chris Tomlinson on Twitter at @TomlinsonCJ or email at tomlinson@breitbart.com.
And welcome back to the Influencing Radio Show, the host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. Jeff?
Well, it's just typical, isn't it, though? That's what I'm saying. It seems so sad that that people who do these things to these young kids, these young women, shouldn't face automatic, retribution. I mean, I'd hang the bastards on the spot. I don't care. Call it lynching, whatever you want to call it. I'd say, right, I'd make sure I had forensic and I would hang them. I would hang them where they've done this crime, and I'd let them hang and rot there for other people, for a lot of the other car animals out there. This is what happens. I'm sorry, I'm fed up with using politically correct ways that we should discuss these absolutely disgusting animals. Animals don't even do that. So what do you call them? Barbarians. They will act like barbarians. They should be treated just as such. like mad rabid dogs. And what you do to mad rabid dogs? You put them down. I'm fed up with being easy and soft going with these people. They do not deserve to have the same respect that we would pay to anybody else, because they're not like anybody else. They are barbarians. They're not civilized. They do not know what civilization is. They believe in the dark past, and we should put them back in the dark past. We should build a wall around them and let them rot and kill and eat each other. Enough. I'm fed up with trying to be, try to be nice and easy. Go, nah, no more. Hang them where they do. They do these crimes, hang them. Hang them. Sorry, Dave, but I hate to say it. And I'm probably going to get, probably, castrated. Oh, that sounds a bit, oh, no, castrated. Ooh. Now, that sounds a bit like castrated. No. That's what we should do to them bastards. There you go, Dave.
Well, Jeff, yeah, as you say, it's typical. We've heard this story in various forms just hundreds of times, just covering them here on this show. And it happens in every country that accepts these quote-unquote refugees. And we have to emphasize again that most of these quote-unquote refugees are men of military age. They're young men, they're fit, and they have no skills, and they have no desire to assimilate. In fact, if you suggest that they assimilate, the lefties will crawl out of the woodwork like cockroaches and call you a racist, even though Islam is not a race, for suggesting that they assimilate to the civilized world. And it doesn't really matter, Jeff, it doesn't really matter what country it is. It can be the UK, it can be the States, it can be Guatemala, all right? It can be Japan. Well, we do have listeners in Japan and other parts of Asia there. It can be Thailand, okay? Those countries, all of our countries, have long-established societal norms, and really, for the civilized world, all we ask for people who want to immigrate is come to us with a skill and willing to become one of us. And no, that doesn't mean come to us and victimize us. And yet, these people aren't automatically deported when things like this happen. I will bet you anything, Jeff, that if these guys are actually convicted of this horrible crime, all right, they may throw them in prison for a few years, and then they'll be right back out again looking for another victim. Right, but this is the refugee paradox. If you're a refugee that happens to be a Mohammedan, you get away almost with murder. And in some cases, the way I see it, you do get away with murder, because maybe 10, 15 years down the line, you get out of prison and you can do the same thing all over again. Right, that's my view of it, man. And of course, I'm the unpleasant blind guy. That's my view, not the EDL's. But the way to solve it, Jeff, is to do what the EDL is asking for.
In the end, there's got to be a kickback. We're a civilization, and our powers that be are trying to make us go along with the barbaricness that's been involved with these cultists of death. Well, I don't want to assimilate with that type of a people, and I won't be forced to, I know a lot of you out there, but that's what your government wants us to do. David Cameron, it shouldn't be down, remember, it shouldn't be down to them to assimilate to us. It should be us to assimilate to them. That's from a politician, That's what they think we should do. They shouldn't have to abide by our laws. We have got to abide by them. Those who invade our shores. We should abide by... Basically, what they're saying is you should give in, you should submit to them, submit to their death cult. That's it. And then it's all good. Yeah. What do you say about that, Dave? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well,
people... people are not going to put up with this crap. I'll tell you, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. I don't know where this is going to lead, Dave. I do not know. But we've all had enough of it. We've had enough. How many times we talk about these stories? We must have talked about these stories thousands of times. Different stories. Over the years. Heartbreaking, heart-wrenching. And we never... There's nothing positive ever comes out. We don't see those people, these young kids, who's been so ill-treated, any good come out. Their lives are ruined. You know, there's no happy ending for any of these poor kids that's been involved in this sort of thing. Some kids, they can't live with it, commit suicide. Think about it. They can't live with their bodies being so violated in the way that they have been used, like, I don't know, just used and abused. That must be. You can't even try to put your mindset on being like that, Dave, and how you'd live with it. Because I try, but I just. It makes my stomach turn over. I think, oh my God, those poor, poor women and boys. It's had to endure that sort of degrading behaviour from barbarians. Yeah, sorry, Dave, just that side.
Yeah, well, as I was going to say, Cameron's statement is the rhetoric of a coward. And it's also the rhetoric of someone who has, among the rest of the political class, made a deal, more or less, with Mohammedans. We bring you in, you vote for us, you keep us in power, we let you do whatever you want. Okay, one or two of you might have to go to prison for a few years, but pretty much we're going to let you get away with whatever you want to do. You just let us stay in power and leave us alone. Now, the only problem with that, Jeff, the only problem with that is that eventually, when there are enough Mohammedans in democracies and republics to take those democracies and republics over, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren are going to look around and go, wait a minute, we were supposed to be powerful and rich. What's the deal here? And the Mohammedans are going to tell them, get down in there in the mud, kafir, where you belong. They're absolute fools if they think that this alliance that they have is going to hold. It never will. Now, Jeff, I've got another one for you. All right. This one here also comes out of Breitbart. As I said, these last three are going to come out of Breitbart. And this one here, you like a nice bit of bacon like I like a nice bit of bacon. Well, as it turns out, the judicial system, and we know this already, but this will just be another example, is as mired in this promotion of Mohammedism and making its own indigenous people refugees as anybody else. This one will last 2 minutes and 50 seconds. You ready for this, Jeff?
Yeah, go for it, Doug.
All right. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. Here you go.
Judge attacks foster parents after Muslim children westernized and ate bacon. By Jack Montgomery on November 11, 2019. A judge has expressed her abhorrence at foster parents caring for children taken from an abusive Muslim household because they westernized and ate bacon. Judge Angela Finnerty said she shared the abhorrence of the biological parents over the fact the children were served bacon and eggs for breakfast, according to The Sun, which further reports that one of the children also ate a hot dog at a fair. the biological father of the children, accused the council of playing God by failing to ensure they continued to follow Islam, somewhat counterintuitively. One matter that sits terribly with me is that they have been feeding my children bacon. You yourself told the foster parents not to feed my children pork products, he complained indignantly to the judge. The children were taken into care in the first place as a result of concerns about the father violently abusing the children's mother. It was alleged that the foster parents told the children, if we make bacon, you eat it, but they objected that the children had simply westernized and, according to the son, turned their backs on religion. Judge Finnerty took a stand on behalf of Islam at her court in York, however, declaring that she shared the abhorrence of the biological parents that their children had eaten bacon sandwiches, and suggesting that they may have westernized due to their cultural and religious needs not having been sufficiently nurtured in foster care. It has become increasingly common for non-Muslims in the United Kingdom to be essentially forced to eat halal meat, slaughtered in accordance with Islamic religious principles which many non-Muslims object to for ethnical reasons. For example, Breitbart London reported in 2017 that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital was only serving halal meat, and in 2018 that in many schools all of the meat served is non-stunned with no alternative options without the knowledge or consent of the majority of pupils and parents. Indeed, in one council area, a democratic vote to stop serving halal meat in schools, including Christian schools, was overturned after a council of mosques threatened to organize a school boycott and launch a judicial review. There have also been cases of non-Muslim children being penalized for objecting to Islamic food practices, with a vegetarian schoolgirl who described halal as inhumane in an exam paper being failed for obscene racial comments earlier this year. A university student also claimed to have been suspended for describing halal as cruel and inhumane in February. Follow Jack Montgomery on Twitter, at Jack Montgomery.
Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show. Yo, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, your take.
No, that was interesting, mate. That was interesting. Give me my bacon. Oh, I'm running out of bacon, Dave. What am I going to do, boy? Let's go round and get some more bacon tomorrow, won't I, Dave? No, it's all because the Islamics do not like bacon and pork products. It's the same old story. And it's boring now, isn't it, Dave? It's so boring. They don't like it. They don't have to have it. That's like completely different. But, no, go on, Dave. Your views.
Well, Jeff, I completely get you. But what struck me about this article was that, again, the people in the host country are often forced to eat halal meat. They're not given a choice. All right? And halal meat, honestly, I haven't had any, I don't believe. It can't be as good as non-halal meat, because with halal meat, the animal is allowed to suffer before it dies, and that's got to ruin the taste of the meat, or at least, put various hormones and things in it that just make it taste worse. Not to mention the cruelty to the animal, and of course, you and I both know that cows don't instantly become hamburgers and things like that. They do kill them. But there's a way to do it that's more humane than this halal monstrosity. And when these kids point this
stun
stuff
and
out,
bolt,
instead
that's,
of,
that's the proper yeah. way, stun and bolt, Dave. You
well,
know,
yeah,
that's
but
the,
when
the
these
proper way, when, on a when farm, these, that is how they do things. Stun,
right.
So the animal doesn't feel anything because it's taken out the thing. And the bolt, there's the bolt straight through the brain.
Right.
I don't have
right.
to go into too much graphic. Dave, you know that's it. That's what I'm talking about. It's the most humane way. You don't need to cut animals' throats. You can do that, and then once the animal has ceased living, then you can do what you normally do. The farmer or the butchers do what the butchers do. you know, all this inhumaneness. It's just, I mean, how would you want to do that? And they have glee. I've seen videos where they're so happy. They love smearing the blood all over themselves off of a basically torture the poor animal to death, because it's torture, isn't it, Dave? Animals just don't die. You cut their throats and they just die instantaneously. No, they don't. They die in fear. They're petrified. Wouldn't you be, Dave, if you was hanging upside down and somebody's cut your throat and let you bleed out? I mean, that's the way that we got to think about it. You know, it's not the proper way how it should be done. I believe in that animals should be treated with dignity. The good Lord put animals in our world so that we could look after them and use them as food, but treat them humanely. You can't ask more than that with people to do that, can you?
You're right. You are right. And when these kids point out that the halal process for creating meat is unnecessarily cruel, they should not be penalized for it. It's an observation. It's free speech, and that's the way it should be. But they're classified as quote-unquote racist, and again, you can't say, if it's about Islam, you can't say anything against it, and you better eat that halal meat because that's the only choice there is. Not the other way around, where the small percentage of the population has to assimilate to everybody else. Now, we got one more, Jeff. We got one more story here. And the non-Mohammedans aren't the only ones who are refugees in our own countries. There are others. And we have this one last story here from Breitbart that was put out on the 12th. And I'm going to go ahead, on the 20th, and I'm going to go ahead and put this one in. You ready, Jeff? This is 4 minutes and 46 seconds long.
Yeah, go for it,
Dave. All right. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here you go.
Fuck the Tories, the rise of anti-Brexit apartment rentals in the UK, by Kurt Zindelka on November 20th, 2019. An investigation by a British newspaper has found growing evidence of strict political discrimination in the housing rental market, a trend leaving many pro-Brexit and Conservative voters out in the cold. The political discrimination against Conservative-minded people in the UK is widespread on housing sites like Spare Room, the report claims. The Telegraph found advertisements saying no smokers or Tories in another ad from a supposedly open-minded and tolerant landlord who said that in most cases I couldn't see myself living with a Tory. Recently we have seen more mentions of political preferences in adverts, which unfortunately is a sign of the times we live in. Choosing who you live with based on how they vote isn't counted as discrimination. However, we'd always encourage people to say who they do want to live with, rather than who they don't, said a spokesman from Spare Room. The emerging trend appears to be of would-be landlords making clear those who support Britain leaving the European Union or right-wing political parties would not be welcome. In one instance, student Olivia Lerner arrived at prospective accommodation and was greeted with a sign reading FCK the Tories, anti-Brexit literature around the house, and a poster of the infamous communist mass murderer Che Guevara. Miss Lerner was told that she would not be welcome in the house after the landlord discovered her political leanings through social media, telling her that, "I saw you are the leader of the Young Conservative Party and Union, you support Brexit. We are a very left-wing house and I think there could be, a, potential clash. I ask myself how these people are going to cope when they get a job, and have to work with someone that votes Conservative. Are they going to refuse to work with that person?" she revealed to the Telegraph. Importantly, discrimination based on political affiliation appears to be a one-way street in the UK, with anti-Remainer / political left room listings not featuring. Indeed, the intolerance from leftists towards people on the right in the UK was demonstrated in a poll conducted by YouGov earlier this year, which found that 39% of Remainer voters would be upset if their child married a Brexit supporter, compared to just 11% of Leave supporters who would feel the same if their child married a Remainer. The poll also found that nearly a third of Labour supporters would not consider dating a member of their rival party. This liberal bias mirrors similar trends reported in the United States, where supporters of President Donald Trump are increasingly finding cross-party dating difficult. A conservative journalist explained to the outlet that the political divide has gotten so wide that a lot of younger liberals don't have any interest in meeting conservatives. He recounted an instance in which he brought a woman back to his apartment, and upon seeing works from conservative writers on his bookshelf, the woman exclaimed, "Oh no. First question, did you vote for Trump?" The reporter said that while he did not vote for Donald Trump, he was a conservative. In response, the woman said, "I have to get out of here. I can't see you," and left. Donald Trump supporters have faced discrimination in the housing market as well. In 2016, a Colorado landlord posted a rental ad in which he said that while dogs with good references would be allowed, Trump supporters shouldn't bother getting in touch. The Federal Fair Housing Act in America bans landlords from discriminating based on race, color, national origin, religion, sex, and disability, but does not prohibit discrimination based on political affiliation, although some states have local laws preventing political discrimination. The lack of tolerance towards conservatives by left-wing people may be a psychological phenomenon. NYU professor and the founder of Heterodox Academy, Jonathan Haidt, explained that liberals are much more likely to be incapable of understanding the beliefs and thoughts of conservatives. In his book The Righteous Mind, Mr. Haidt wrote, "The results were clear and consistent. Moderates and conservatives were most accurate in their predictions, whether they were pretending to be liberals or conservatives. Liberals were the least accurate, especially those who described themselves as very liberal. The biggest errors in the whole study came when liberals answered the care and fairness questions while pretending to be conservatives. When faced with statements such as one of the worst things a person could do is hurt a defenseless animal or justice is the most important requirement for a society, liberals assumed that conservatives would disagree." Follow Kurt Sindelka on Twitter at @KurtSindelka or email @Sindelka@Breitbart.com.
And that's it, Jeff. What do you think,
Ben? Well, it's just, as you say, it's the climate that we live now. I've been hearing it a lot, what's going on across our country. I haven't heard about the dating situation, a date for date, you know. I don't think you want to talk about politics or anything like that, you know, a date, to be honest. But then again, I don't know, I've been on a date for a long time, so it might be a totally different world out there in that day. But I never used to go out there to talk about politics when I was with a girl. I was thinking a bit of naughty, you know, doing naughty. No, having a bit of fun, having a burger somewhere, going to cinema. And the last thing I had on my mind, Dave, was politics. I don't know about you, Dave, but we do live in a funny, funny world now. There you go.
We do, Jeff. Yeah, we do. I mean, young people these days really have a heightened sense of politics. And particularly when it comes to leftists, young leftists, it's become their religion. That's why I put in the slides what I did, that picture of Obama with about six arms holding up all this stuff, saying that he's the new God. Because for the left, even though they may deny it, progressivism, collectivism, whatever you want to call it, is their religion. And they treat it as such. So this would be this reaction that you heard. Yeah, the reaction that you heard in this article would be very similar to, say, someone 40 years ago refusing to continue to date somebody because they happen to be of a different religion. You know, one might be Jewish and the other might be Christian or whatever. But now it's the religion of socialism that is the problem. And again, as you see, conservatives are becoming refugees in our own countries. If you don't hold to the philosophies of socialism and communism, and especially if you don't bend the knee to Islam, then you're a refugee in your own country. And the only way to stop this is to treat Islam as the enemy ideology that it is, and to do what the EDL wants done, which is equal treatment under the law for everyone, Jeff. Am I right?
Yeah, you got it. I think that says it all. That's what we expect. Unfortunately, we don't seem to be living in the world that abides by the views of common sense people. But anyway, Dave, I'm just looking at the time. We've got about under 5 minutes or four and a half minutes. And once again, Dave, thank you for all that you've done tonight. Great scripting, the great slides, everything, the Breitbart clips. It's been pretty, pretty cool tonight. We've had one visitor tonight. That's Vorpal Byte. So give them a wave there.
Hey,
but Dave, your final thoughts for this evening, and where the great listeners can catch up with you during the week, Dave.
Right, yeah, matey. But first, before I do that, I just want to say, guys, you really want to tune in on Sunday, because we are going to have Carmel Melamed on. And this is a freelance reporter who has reported for such publications as the Jerusalem Post. We're going to be doing a program that Jeff inspired, and it's going to be a good one. You're going to want to hear that on Sunday, okay? So, you know, tune in, and we will give you the notices as we do for all of our shows. Now, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, and my regular show times are 1 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern Time in the United States, and that's 6 p.m. in the UK, and midnight on Saturday Eastern in the United States, and 5 a.m. on Saturday in the UK. I can also be heard on the SHR Media YouTube page and the Western Free Radio Network. So please go and check that out. I just want to say to the foot soldiers, the angels, the patriots of the English Defense League, and all patriots around the world, Yellow Vesters, the Hong Kong patriots, all of the ones that are stepping up now for self-rule and personal liberty. Be prosperous, be blessed, and for goodness sake, no surrender. Back to you, brother.
No surrender ever with that. All what Dave said and more, and we'll see you again this Sunday. So take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. And as Dave said, no surrender ever. We'll be back Sunday. God bless you all.
People might say that I'm just right for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than the mine. My New Zealand pence was for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. To be here, so what you get? You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't waste your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Let the boys all shout for tomorrow. Oh.
Well, there you go. That's the end of the show, the end of our live broadcast. But as I say, we'll be back again this Sunday. And we've got a great guest that will join us. And, yeah, I think you will enjoy the show come this Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. So with that, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off tonight. And we'll see you again this Sunday. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.